Welcome to VOA's International Edition for Friday, August 7th, 2015. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Today, the first Republican debate takes place in Cleveland, Ohio. Jim Malone will have a preview. Secretary of State Kerry calls for reduced tensions in the South China Sea. Will oil prices continue to drop? And Dr. Dre releases his first CD in 16 years. That's all coming up on VOA's International Edition. The first official debate of the 2016 election season is just hours away in Cleveland, Ohio. Billionaire businessman Donald Trump has the highest poll numbers going into the Republican debate, but will he be a viable candidate? VOA senior political correspondent Jim Malone told me that Trump is unpredictable and the other candidates have their work cut out for them.
Donald Trump is used to being center stage, Dave, and he will be in this first debate. And the question is, I think, will Donald be on the attack? Will his rivals be on the attack against him? Will they try to ignore him? Look, you got 10 people on a stage. Everybody's going to be fighting for every second of airtime they can. They all want to break through because Trump has so far overwhelmed the Republican race. So how do they do that? Do they say something about Trump? They're probably going to also talk a lot about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton, of course, is the leading candidate for the Democrats. But Trump has been leading in the polls because he's been saying things that other candidates haven't been saying, things about immigration or health care. And now you've got people like Jeb Bush and Scott Walker standing on either side of him that have got to take this guy seriously, right?
Well, it would look that way right now. I mean, two things about Trump. He is not a politician, and I think this is the key to his early success. People are tired of the Washington speak, of the Washington politicians. They're looking for someone different. Trump is filling that gap right now. His blunt style is also catching a lot of attention. It's winning over a lot of the sort of Republican conservatives who are fed up and who are always looking for a Republican candidate who reflects the true conservative vibe. And right now, Trump is filling that. But you got people like Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, and others who would like that mantle if they can wrest it away from him.
You also have some pretty serious political resumes on this stage. You've got people who have been governors, U.S. senators. Jeb Bush, we mentioned, was governor of Florida. Christie is governor of New Jersey. And you've got Lindsey Graham and other people in this 17-member field of Republicans that are really serious political heavy hitters, but nobody's been able to get the big numbers so far.
That's right. I mean, three sitting U.S. senators, people weighing in on foreign policy issues like the Iran nuclear deal and the battle against the Islamic State, three sitting governors and a former governor in Jeb Bush. There's some heavy hitters in this field, but I don't think that they've quite figured out how to cope with the Trump factor. So the question is, are they going to try to out-Trump Trump in a way? Or offer something different to the voters. Certainly people like Bush and Kasich are trying to present a more moderate face to the party. Whether that really flies in the early going, especially with these kind of worked up Tea Party sort of conservative Republicans, remains to be seen.
I want to talk about Jeb Bush for just a second here. He has been actually kind of struggling to get his message across. He said things about like women's health care and about Medicaid that he's been roundly criticized for. He also has two very big shadows to walk out from underneath. His father, George H.W. Bush, and his brother, George W. Bush, were both president. And so now he's got to establish himself as being almost separated from them, doesn't he?
You know, his running slogan on his website and everything is just Jeb. There's no Bush there. But I think you raise a good question, and that is, I don't think he's been able to step out from under the shadow yet. That may come with time. But he's constantly asked about how he's different from his brother and his father. And particularly with the sort of the ghost of the Iraq war hanging over the country a lot and what we're going to do in the Middle East next, Jeb Bush has got a little bit of a tricky challenge ahead of him, setting out his own path, setting out his style as his own man, and yet not, of course, repudiating either his dad or his brother.
All right, that is VOA correspondent Jim Malone. You can follow his coverage of the entire election cycle until the new president is elected next November at www.voanews.com. Time now to check out what people are tweeting ahead of tonight's debate. International Edition's G. Abby Lee is in the studio. Welcome, G.
Hi, Dave.
Let's begin with what the presidential candidates are tweeting. Who can we start out with other than the Donald?
Of course, leading in polls and some might say in entertainment value as well. This is what he tweeted 7 hours ago. I look forward to tonight's quote-unquote debate, but look far more forward to making America great again. It can happen. As for Jeb Bush, he tweeted a lot today, but the first one regarding the debate reads like this. Good morning from Cleveland. For a preview of tonight, here's what we accomplished in Florida by the numbers. Hashtag GOP debate. He shared a link to a blog post titled Jeb by the Numbers on his website. On to Scott Walker. He's actively promoting his Snapchat account on Twitter. He tweeted he's going to post behind-the-scenes look from the debate tonight on Snapchat, so if you're interested, he's on Snapchat at GOV Scott Walker. Snapchat is a video messaging app, and its membership is growing really fast here in the States. Dave, do you know who the sponsors are for the debate tonight?
Well, I know one of them is Fox News.
Yes, and Facebook. So that means you can watch it on Fox News or foxnews.com if you have a login from your cable company. And I am sure hashtag GOP debate will be a trending topic on Facebook and Twitter tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's G. Abby Lee. We welcome your comments. You can log on to our website, voanews.com, or you can send us a tweet. We're at VOA_IE. Coming up, Secretary of State Kerry calls for reduced tensions in the South China Sea. And will oil prices continue to drop this year? This is VOA.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artist. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA podcasts a try.
VOANews.com.
Visit our website at VOANews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
Listening to VOA's International Edition. I'm David Byrd in Washington. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry directly called on China Thursday to stop building artificial islands in the South China Sea and to halt construction efforts on disputed lands. During a regional forum of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations in Malaysia this week, diplomats again struggled to agree on a joint statement on the territorial dispute. Kerry called it essential to maintain freedom of navigation and overflight in the region.
I reiterated America's strong support for freedom of navigation, overflight, and other lawful uses of the sea. These rights, I would remind everybody, are universal rights, and they must be respected by every nation, large and small.
The Secretary of State urged the countries to commit to stopping the construction and militarization of features in the region to lower tensions.
To that end, I made clear our belief that the claimants to some of these reefs, islands, to some of these areas, should all of them, every one of them, take concrete steps in order to try to lower the tensions by refraining from further land reclamation, militarization, and construction projects.
China, Vietnam, Malaysia, Taiwan, and the Philippines have overlapping claims in the remote seas that are vital shipping lanes and fishing grounds. But this year, Beijing has rapidly ramped up land reclamation efforts and built an airstrip to shore up its claim.
On Wednesday, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said that his country had stopped its land reclamation projects on the waterway. Secretary Kerry said he hopes that's true, but he has not confirmed it. Mr. Kerry also announced the United States will provide much-needed disaster assistance to Myanmar, where the Red Cross estimates that floods and landslides have now affected nearly 180,000 people.
The United States will provide $600,000 of immediate relief through USAID's Office of U.S. Foreign Disaster Assistance. And we have a team on the ground now working with local officials in order to meet the most urgent needs.
Foreign ministers and senior officials from 26 countries attending the ASEAN Forum addressed a range of issues, including cybersecurity, disaster relief, and environmental protection. Later in Vietnam, Kerry will mark the 20th anniversary of renewed bilateral ties that were severed four decades ago as the protracted Vietnam War came to an end. Kerry is nearing the end of a five-nation tour that has also included stops in Egypt, Qatar, and Singapore. You're listening to VOA's International Edition. Coming up, Alexis Christophorus will tell us about how oil prices will continue to drop, and Ray McDonald stops by to talk about Dr. Dre's first solo album in 16 years. This is VOA.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
I'm Millar Sega, host of VOA's The Correspondents, a weekly roundup of the top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters around the globe.
Among the stars expressing support, Frida Pinto.
This is a problem that inflicts almost every country.
Think of it as a conversation on the biggest issues of the day. Wherever the news may be, our correspondents are there. Listen to The Correspondents, Saturdays and Sundays on VOA.
You're listening to VOA's International Edition. I'm David Byrd in Washington. A new Islamic State affiliate has claimed responsibility for killing 15 people in a suicide bombing at a Saudi mosque used by security forces. The Hijaz province of the Islamic State said it carried out the attack at a mosque in the southern city of Abha. 12 of those killed were trainees with the country's Special Weapons and Tactics Unit, which is tasked with domestic security. Three others were workers at the compound. Seven other people were wounded in the blast. Egypt has opened a major expansion of the Suez Canal that President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi has billed as an historic achievement needed to boost the country's ailing economy after years of unrest. At an elaborate ceremony in the canal city of Ismailia, the president said the work did not take place in normal circumstances because of the threat of terrorism. He added, "We are fighting them and we will defeat them." The $8.5 billion extension involved digging and dredging 72 kilometers of the 193-kilometer-long canal and making a parallel waterway to facilitate two-way traffic. The government said it will more than double the canal's annual revenue. Saudi Arabia is boosting its efforts to defeat Iranian-backed Houthi insurgents in Yemen by sending in more heavy weaponry and troops in recent days. One Yemeni military source told the French news agency that Riyadh has sent in dozens of tanks, armored vehicles, and personnel carriers during the past 48 hours. Several days ago, 2,800 Arab coalition troops landed in Yemen. Most were Saudi forces, special operations, intelligence, and logistics personnel, along with troop units from the United Arab Emirates. The slide in worldwide oil prices might not be over anytime soon. There's a major Wall Street firm that believes that oil will stay low for much longer.
VOA business correspondent Alexis Christophorus joins us from New York with more.
David, Goldman Sachs has now joined the view that oil prices will remain lower for longer after futures prices reached levels not seen in 10 years. Analysts at the influential bank argue that the economic environment for the oil industry has changed fundamentally. They say that's because of declining costs, productivity gains, and a stronger dollar. In their latest oil report, Goldman Sachs analysts said the rebalancing of supply and demand will likely prove to be far more difficult than what was previously priced into the market. Goldman Sachs maintains its near-term target for U.S. crude at $45 a barrel, but warns that risk is skewed substantially lower, and we already know crude has dipped below that $45 a barrel mark. David?
Now, investors are looking ahead to the U.S. unemployment report that comes out Friday. What do you think traders can look for from that?
Well, certainly all eyes will be on that U.S. jobs report because depending on the results, it could convince the U.S. Federal Reserve to raise interest rates come September. Economists expect the economy added 223,000 jobs in July. They're looking for a steady unemployment rate of 5.3%. And the key here will be the average hourly earnings. If those come in with a 2% increase, then it may be enough to force the Fed's hand and have them raise interest rates for the first time in years. And of course, that would spell the end of super cheap money for both the U.S. and many foreign investors. David?
Alexis Christophorus is our business correspondent. She joins us from New York. Alexis, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
It has been 16 years since rapper and entrepreneur Dr. Dre released a solo album. Now he is out with what he says will be his final CD. Proceeds from the album Compton will go to benefit a performance art space in Los Angeles. I spoke with VOA music host Ray McDonald about the CD and why it took so many years to be released.
Dr. Dre has been working on an album called Detox for many, many years. And this was sort of the holy grail of hip-hop. People were waiting and waiting and waiting for Detox to appear. And now we find that Dr. Dre is coming out with an album, but it's not Detox. It's called Compton, a soundtrack by Dr. Dre. It was announced Thursday on Zane Lowe's Beats One radio show, and the album officially premiered Thursday night, and it hit the market on Friday.
Now, he is known for working with other people. He's worked with Snoop Dogg. Obviously, he worked with N.W.A. He worked with Eminem. He's been producing a lot of people, in addition to coming up with the Beats headphone or sound system line.
He's been busy.
So he has been busy. It's just we haven't heard him solo since the album 2001, which was released in 1999.
Well, Dre has his own radio show on Beats One. It's called The Pharmacy. And he says that he was working on Detox for years and years, but he said it wasn't good. He didn't like it. He knew that the fans wouldn't like it. So he basically abandoned that project, brought together a lot of established stars and some newcomers, too, and he made Compton a soundtrack. Eminem, of course, Kendrick Lamar, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, The Game, Exhibit. They're some of the established stars. And then he works with some new artists like King Mez and Justice. And Dre says he wrote most of the lyrics for the album with those two. So they're newcomers, and they're going to be getting a lot of great publicity from this album.
So it's going to establish their cred by being with him, and it's also going to give us a chance to hear Dr. Dre again.
For the last time, he says this is going to be his grand finale.
Wow. Okay. So you might have an opinion on this. You can send us a tweet. It's VOA_music and VOA_IE. Those are our Twitter handles. And, of course, you can listen for Ray's show. That's the top 5 hits and the top 20 hits of the week. You can download that at www.voanews.com.
Come on, baby, in the city. That's right.
Thanks for joining us for VOA's International Edition. We welcome your questions or your comments. You can always find the latest news by logging on to our website at www.voanews.com. You can also send us a tweet right here at International Edition. Our handle on Twitter is at @VOA_IE. Tracy Carter directed our show. Zubair El-Tayeb was our engineer. For all the people here at VOA, I'm David Byrd in Washington. We thank you for listening.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States condemns the murders in Burundi of General Adolphe Nshimirimana and local official Kome Haririmana, as well as subsequent attacks against member of the press Esdras Ndikumana and human rights defender Pierre Claver Mbonimpa. The United States urges calm and restraint in the aftermath of the attacks. In a recent statement, the United States Department of State called on all sides to renounce violence and to redouble their efforts to engage in a transparent, inclusive, and comprehensive political dialogue. The attacks came soon after Burundi's controversial presidential election, following the National Electoral Commission's announcement that President Pierre Nkurunziza won with over 69% of the vote. The entire electoral process has been broadly criticized as non-credible by the East African community and international partners, which reflects a deeply flawed election, one marked by violence and a disregard for the civil and human rights of the citizens of Burundi. Moving forward, it is imperative that the government of Burundi re-engage in a meaningful, serious dialogue with the peaceful opposition and civil society leaders to reach a consensus on how Burundi may regain the trust and confidence of its citizens and the international community and prevent even greater instability, economic collapse, refugee flows, and violence. Burundi's path forward must address foundational issues, including respect for human rights, freedom of the press and other fundamental freedoms, and respect for the Arusha Agreement and its power-sharing provisions. Restoration of dialogue is urgent, and all parties must work together in pursuit of a consensus, peaceful path forward for the people of Burundi.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.